Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. And we're happy to have her back from a vacation. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth. Welcome back.
Tuesday.
What's on your mind for today?
Well, I think that we need to add road warrior to my introduction for the next few weeks, because I am road warrior weary, although really happy with all the miles that I've put. I guess when you're road weary and you're driving, are you putting miles on yourself or just in the vehicle?
I think both.
Okay. Because I feel like I personally drove in my own body all of the miles. And some of it, I guess, were a little unexpected, which leads us to where we're going today. Because Friday marks the autumn equinox, which is our formal seasonal transition for summer to fall. And since I'm back today, it seemed like the right time to kind of recap some of the summer adventures that I had and some of the places that I went to, and just kind of get ready for that move from one season to the next. And I thought it would be helpful to kind of put it into perspective, because I was looking over the course of my summer and we did 10 pretty profound things. But in order to kind of put it in context, I'm going to start from yesterday and move backwards. Because most of my thoughts about the summer and most of my thoughts about the shows that I sent back this summer really were crystallized behind the wheel of a car, which is what happened yesterday, an unintended car trip. So I was on the road, ended up in Chicago, flew home with my daughter, Kelly. Just let me know if you're following along.
So far, so good.
Okay. So Kelly and I flew back together for a fun kind of end of summer family thing at Whale Rock Music Festival, where we all kind of volunteered and were there and part of the festivities. And Kelly needed to be back for her first day of school. And so I thought I had planned the perfect get back to school trip, a red eye out of San Luis Obispo Airport. No problems there. And she'd be there for class. So I worked my first full day at school yesterday, back with my students at Cal Poly, had a wonderful 10-hour day, and I got home to take Kelly for her red eye. And if you were paying attention yesterday, this amazing fog bank mist floated in the early evening, canceling Kelly's flight. So all of a sudden, my husband and I were in the car driving Kelly down to LAX last night to make a red eye. And we got home at 2:30 this morning.
So how come a fog bank cancels flights out of San Luis when blizzards can happen in Minneapolis and they still manage to land planes?
They couldn't get the plane in because I guess the fog bank was too low. And it was interesting and disheartening because we were sitting outside the airport and we heard the plane go over twice but couldn't drop down.
So she actually didn't get on the plane because it couldn't land.
It could not land.
Okay, gotcha.
So Chris and I drove to LAX last night in our old blue truck. And to keep ourselves awake and on top of things, we started kind of recapping and telling stories about the summer. Because I did a lot of stuff this summer kind of on my own, and he was doing some stuff, and we hadn't really had time to regroup. And so it was wonderful that we had all the memories of the summer activities to kind of pass the time in the car. And then it helped me kind of get all of my thoughts for the show today in order. So I was thinking about, you know, the saying is, it's a bit of a cliche, but it works so well, the idea of spending more time collecting memories than collecting things, and that it's the experiences we have with others that build the connections in our relationships, and they're more long-standing. It helps our mental health and well-being. And this summer was clearly a time of creating a lot of memories, collecting a lot of memories. And what was interesting is that it was kind of three different areas. I had this, you know, time that I spent alone in this luxurious solitude. And then I had time spent in like this wonderful, joyful community from Live Oak with you starting at the beginning of the summer and then ending up with Whale Rock and, you know, other community activities I experienced. And then having like a long time with friends that I don't get to see often, but having enough time to actually have conversations and hang out. And then some great activities, times, experiences with extended family and being able to really kind of create the memory bank for them. And so along with all of these experiences with the people and collecting memories and new stories with them, there's all the places of wonder that we saw and new experiences and new little towns that we had. And of course, meeting all the kind of the colorful strangers, you know, that you see that kind of make up all the towns and places you go and conversations that you have that make it, I don't know, just even more enjoyable. So today we're going to kind of think about, talk about, reminisce about our summer memories. I promise it won't be like coming to my house to watch my summer vacation slideshow, which I wouldn't make you do unless you really wanted to. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines later to invite your stories and memories about the summer, because part of what helps to and retain our mental health or kind of solidify our mental health and those good feelings is in the retelling of those stories, in the retelling of those memories. And even when it's the unintended comedic disasters, like having to drive to LAX and do a 6-hour road trip when it's unexpected, or taking a wrong turn or breaking down somewhere, or, you know, having a planned experience go awry. Like sometimes even the comedic disasters are things that make fabulous stories down the road that bond you as a family and bond you to your stories. So that's where we're going to go. We'll open up the phone lines later. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of the conversation at 781-3875. You can also find me on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. I post shows and pictures. You can leave me a message there. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And you can podcast our show by visiting Apple Tunes or NPR One or however you find your podcasts and hit subscribe. And if you'd like to write a review, that helps open up the show for other people to discover and so that we can build our radio community together. All right, so Hank, this weekend, as I mentioned, we were at Whale Rock, and part of the fun is the conversations you have with the people you meet there. And there's a local band, Bear Market Riot. Nick and Kirk make up the duo of Bear Market Riot. And I had spoken to them a couple times at Live Oak and different places. And I had actually interviewed them once before. But when I got home, their interview kind of disappeared. And so when I ran into Nick and Kirk this weekend and said, hey, would you mind sitting down with me for a couple minutes and kind of talking about life? Kirk immediately said, didn't we already do this? And I said, yes. And it was wonderful for me, but I lost the recording. So would you mind spending a little time with me again? And so I thought we'd kick off the day with a little bit of my conversation with Nick from Bear Market Riot and hear a little bit of their music too. So what's the best part of being in your band?
The best part of being in my band is the effortlessness of performing with Kirk.
And if you weren't doing this with Kirk, what would you be doing?
Probably just more of what I'm still doing. I'm a husband full time. Mm-hmm. I'm a dad full time. I play guitar for most of my living, my livelihood, and I sing for a lot of that. But if I wasn't in Bear Market Riot, I would be trying to create Bear Market Riot every single day of my life.
I like that.
Yeah. Now that I found Kirk and I've built what I've been looking for, and we are continuing to go on with what we are looking for to find in music, we're finding it in each other, and we're just going to keep going. It's a fun mix.
Well, I love you, dear, but you just can't hang around here, 'cause I've got a lover who's coming over, so go ahead and save your tears. I know I got hooked up with you for a long enough time. Now I'm making some friends, and you know, darling, I'm feeling fine. So don't you come around here knocking on my door, especially when I know damn well you're looking for more.
Hi, I'm Nick Motilla from Bear Market Riot, and I support public radio because without public radio, you would have no idea who I am. You can support KCBX by visiting kcbx.org and hitting the Donate Now tab. Thanks so much.
And I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. So that's just a little piece of some of the things that I've experienced along the way this summer, memories that I'll get to carry with me as we move into the autumn, the fall months, and into winter. And it's funny because I'm not sure what's more fun when it comes to collecting memories, because I guess that's just where we're going today, is we're looking into our wherever you have your storage bin of things that you keep and collect, whether it's shoes by the front door or games or things that you're not sure what to do with, but you keep them anyways. So they're stored in a crate or container somewhere, or they're beloved treasures that you've collected over the years, or beloved treasures that have been passed down through your family, all find their place in some sort of storage unit somewhere in your house, or displayed or put away carefully in a keepsake box. And today I'm talking about how we store our memories and how we keep them in a place that we can still access them, so we can still get to them and draw on those memories by retelling and telling those stories to each other that brings them back to life and brings back those same feelings. Because the wonderful thing about retelling our stories and sharing our summer adventures, any adventures really, but today we're talking about our summer adventures, by retelling those stories, you release that same sense of serotonin goodness, dopamine goodness, those chemicals that flow through us and give us a sense of well-being. When we start talking about things, memories that we have, we get to recreate the good internal feelings that we had. At the same time, we get flooded with those memories, and they sustain us. And it's one of the things we talk about when we're working with the elderly, who might be getting to a point in their life where they can no longer do those things that they most enjoyed. But if their mind stays sharp, they have the joy of retelling the stories of those things they most enjoyed in their life. And I know that quite often older people get the bad rep of maybe retelling stories too much. A lot of grandchildren roll their eyes as soon as grandparents start talking about some memory they had over and over again. But there's such beauty in knowing those stories. There's beauty in hearing that story over and over again. I really love hearing our family stories told by my dad or my mom or an aunt or an uncle or even by my brother or sister. I love hearing them, even if they're retold again, because the smile on their face as they're telling them and the laughs that we have in remembering whatever the story was about, or the embarrassment we felt, and also the ways the stories change year after year, how they get more embellished or better or more dramatic or more comedic. All of those stories that we carry through our life become kind of the fabric of who we are. They become the mark that we existed, you know, because very few people are going to end up in any sort of history book or making their way into some celebrity status. Most of us are going to go on and be remembered by the stories that are shared and passed down through our families or through our friend groups of things that we experience together. And so I'm trying to imagine what that container looks like where we keep our most treasured and sacred memories, and how we go into it. And, you know, part of me is picturing like a Rolodex that you flip through, and it's like, oh, remember that time we took the camping trip, you know, into the mountains, or remember the time we got lost, or, you know, remember the time, the first time we took the kids to see Yosemite. Like, I can Rolodex those. But then there is another kind of that photo album that you flip open, and each picture brings back those stories, those memories. So today we're talking about those memories that we've collected and how much more valuable they are than things. And we don't really need to go into that, because I think we're, you know, kind of on the same page maybe with this idea that all the things that we acquire may feel wonderful in the moment, but it's very short-lived. And it's almost the idea of attaining something which is more exciting than the actual collecting of the thing. And so when we're talking about memories and stories, because we can change the story or embellish the story or get to tell it to someone new, I mean, nothing's more fun than making a new friend and getting to tell the stories of your life or things that were important to you to a new friend who's fresh and hasn't heard those stories before. It's almost like getting to open your book again and a photo album of yourself and sharing it, and it just brings such life to us. So I'm not really sure what's the most fun. Is it the thrill that comes with meeting someone new and getting to kind of explore each other's stories and memories together and kind of look through our treasure boxes of who we are and how we got to be who we are? Or maybe it's that deep sense of being home that comes to you when you're spending time with family and all of the stories that come up when you're together as a family or creating new memories as a family that you can add to that Rolodex of stories. Or maybe it's the joy that comes with getting to spend time and connecting with friends, because it seems like most of our lives are so busy now that those times where we just get to relax and hang out with friends becomes more rare. The more quickly our life is, or maybe it's just my life feels that it's going by so quickly that I don't have enough time to really get quiet with my friends and have long conversations or do something fun. I'm not sure which of those things is the greatest place to go back to. And along with all of those experiences with friends and family and new acquaintances or new people in our lives, new relationships, is the wonder of exploring new places, the wonders that come with seeing new things and how they all kind of ground our mental health. So I think I'll start with just kind of this list of 10. And as I'm listing my 10, think about the things you did this summer and what was one memory of those things that stick out for you. I mean, I feel like I've been on a year-long trip and not just a 12-week trip, because we started going to Chicago back in June. Just my husband and I, it was a fun getaway and time just to kind of hang out and ride bikes through the city, something we've never done alone there, and explore. Then we came back and did Live Oak almost immediately, and it was wonderful to see friends there that now I've seen for 3 or 4 years and to hear music and meet new artists and kind of connect with the outdoors and just the beauty of Live Oak. Then I was up in Tahoe with extended family, with a big, large family gathering just for a couple days, and getting to celebrate 100th anniversary, which was really fabulous. And then we were back and up to Camp Natoma, which is our little local summer camp that's been here for over 75 years, that is such a part of our Central Coast community, and families have been going for generations. And to be able to be up there, to be part of this place that is so full of memories for my own family, I think this is the 25th year that we've gone up there to spend time. Then we did a first-time trip to Alaska. If you listened to the show a couple weeks ago, I sent back some interviews from Alaska where my daughter was working. And that was just all new, unexplored territory, all about awe and wonder and trying to take in kind of the magnitude of what Alaska is. Then came back and went to Huntington Lake, and I'd never been there before, and spending time with new friends and old friends. And then was my epic drive trip. This summer, I started in Chicago, and then I went to Cleveland, which I've never been to, which is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is pretty spectacular. And it's one of the things that's interesting about these drives, because I went through Cleveland and Rochester, New York, and Buffalo, you know, places that you kind of heard of, but you never would think to go to because they're not on the top 10 list of must-see places like Austin, Texas, or Philadelphia. But all of these towns, these mid-sized cities, I don't even know if Cleveland would be considered mid-sized, they feel fairly large, but they all have remade over, I don't know if that's the right word, but redone their downtowns and brought in really fun restaurants and outdoor music and lighting and activities and kind of block parties, and really tried to recreate the sense of community in these towns. And so we had great visits in Cleveland and Rochester, right along the river. And it's like, I don't think we realize how many fabulous places there are with people creating really fun and interesting lives that kind of go unnoticed maybe by the broader travel channels because they're not a place we generally look at. and see as a destination for visiting. Las Vegas kind of seems to top that. Then I ended up on the Jersey Shore. And if you were listening to the show last week, I sent back an interview from that. And then drove all the way back to Chicago, flew home, went to Whale Rock, and here we are today. And so I'm curious to know, thinking back over your summer, is there some memory, something about it that stands out for you, a story, something unexpected, that really kind of captures the feeling that you had over your summer? 781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I am back in here in the studio for the first time in a while. And so I'm trying to break in my chair and get used to being here. And I look forward to hearing how your summer was. And it's funny because I think school starts so early now in August that for a lot of people, summer was over almost a month ago. But calendar-wise, we're just moving towards the autumn equinox, and the end of summer really isn't until Friday. So technically, you still have another weekend to make the most of your summer, I don't even call it vacations, but your summer season, and time to make those memories. And what are those memories that are most important? What memories do you most enjoy collecting? Is it the time spent with family or with friends? Or is it the thrill that comes with making that new friend, that unexpected friend? Because I had that experience this summer where I met someone new that kind of brought this whole different energy and interest into my life that's been really fun. And I think at some point in our life, we get really comfortable with the things we know we enjoy and the places we like to go and the people we like to hang out with. And so it was really unexpected and fun to meet someone who has all these different interests that all of a sudden brought a new energy to my life. I thought, oh, there's more things I have to check out than my same old, same old. 781-3875 is a number to be part of the conversation. So Bree, we haven't seen each other in a while.
I know.
So do you have any summer memories or story?
Sure. Okay. I was dating someone earlier this summer and it didn't work out. And I mean, that was kind of sad, but I have nothing but good feelings for him. And
that's very nice of you.
Yes. But I kind of had to relearn to be by myself again. And so I decided I was going to go hiking again. I mean, throughout most of my single life, I always go hiking by myself. I really love it. I know people are like, women shouldn't go alone.
I was going to say, is your mother listening?
Oh, she knows about it. She was worried about me at first, but she's kind of given up because I just do it so often. And, you know, I take measures to protect myself. But I went up to, they just reopened a little portion of Highway 1. After one of the smaller landslides, they cleared it, and so they opened up some of these hiking trails by the Salmon Creek station there with the Los Padres National Forest, and I went up hiking there, and I just had so much fun. I hadn't really been there before. I mean, I passed through there, but I hadn't hiked there before, and I just thought it was beautiful. I saw, like, the most spectacular views, and it was I guess it was a couple weeks ago, Labor Day weekend, and there were so many people I passed through on the way up there. But when I got to the hiking trail, I was the only person there, and I just kept hiking for miles and miles, and there was nobody there. And I felt at peace, and I felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice moment. I wrote in my journal and had a happy moment to myself.
And it is the collecting of those memories. It's like the joy of the solitude, mm-hmm. of just being alone with our thoughts. Because I think for a lot of people, we get so busy and it's so easy to distract ourselves, and we have the devices and we can binge mm-hmm. watch shows. And so we can get to a point where we forget what it's like to just have quiet with our own thoughts and to enjoy them. I think for many people, when things get too quiet or they don't feel distracted, their own thoughts start to become distressing, mm-hmm. make them feel anxious. And so there's almost like this great gift of rediscovering how wonderful it is to live in our own heads for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And when you've been in a relationship and you haven't had the downtime to kind of remember your own thoughts, and when we're in a relationship too, we tend to start, our story starts to become about, you know, the two heads coming together. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to find your way back and go, now that it's all my time on my own, how do I spend that?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I mean, going into the relationship, I wanted to make sure I had a lot of time myself, but I didn't. I realized it didn't accomplish that goal, and I had spent no time with myself. And now I'm spending all the time with myself, and I'm so happy.
Which, and then in a couple of months, we'll have the conversation with, now I'm way too comfortable just being with myself. Yeah. And then we'll have to do a show about how do we then make room for new people back in our lives. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a wonderful gift to be able to have that time and to appreciate you have the time. And I remember reading about this mindfulness exercise where you make conscious snapshots, you know, because again, we're so selfie oriented and wanting to get everything on our phones and or on our cameras and always capture it so it doesn't go away. But it was a really interesting article talking about how we, you know, can imprint in our mind photos of places we've been and pull them back up whenever we want to see them in our mind's eye, but that we have to almost kind of take that mindful moment and hold our hands up in such a way like we're holding a camera, and then to kind of center the photo of exactly what it is you're trying to remember, and then push the button in your, you know, air push the button, and that kind of clicking sets that photo in exactly that image in your mind. And so when you want to draw back or you're telling the story about the place, it's amazing how you can recall more details about the place if you've made that mind's photo, that mind's eye photo. And so the part of the concern was that we're so busy capturing photos on our cameras or phones to put in albums that we kind of lose that ability to just take something in and own it. And hold it and have all the kind of the benefits of that experience. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting is kind of the idea of how families create kind of memories and collect the memories that help bond families through tough times. You know, not that the end of summer marks, you know, going into a dark period of time, but traditionally, and in many parts of the country, as we move into the fall and into the winter, it gets physically darker. And for many people, that period of the year can be physically and emotionally dark, and that it's important to kind of have this reserve of pictures in our mind and stories to tell that we can draw on during the darker months that we may be coming into, physically and metaphorically, you know, because there also are periods of time where the family's together. And I can picture, okay, no, every time I'm with my family, whether it's my, you know, family of just my husband and my daughters and granddaughter, or if the extended family with my brothers and sisters, my parents, or out to my cousins, like however far we go, the extended family, whenever we get everyone together, like when we were in Lake Tahoe, we had a big group of us. And I don't know if it's a dark thought, but I always have the thought of this may be the last time we're all together in whole. Am I the only one that thinks this?
Oh, no, I think that all the time.
And so I'm constantly trying to really put down stakes in these experiences and say, this is a great moment. Here we all are. And we might have our things we argue about or things that annoy us about each other, you know, or things that we are more interested in different areas. But in this moment, all of these people share a common family history. And we're here together, and I want to mark it and hold on to it. It's something that really is important to me. To see that, and how do we go forward to continue making these family experiences happen? Because what I've recognized in working with clients or talking to friends, that it's, you know, for a lot of people, it's really challenging to get the family together, because the older everyone gets or the older their children get, everyone has their own interests, or, you know, the same old family vacation or family gathering some people aren't interested in, and so they stop wanting to make the effort to go. It starts to become more challenging to hold those family gatherings together. And so what can we do? You know, how do we continue to keep people engaged in being connected with their family? I know that for a lot of grandparents, they're thinking, maybe if we move someplace with a pool, or we should go someplace, you know, close to a lake, or have something that entices the family to come be with them so that they'll want to come hang out with us. But I also think that there's got to be some sort of, I don't know, family identity, or, you know, something that's like unique about your family that everyone buys into, that they feel like, you know, we've done this for so many years together, or when we're together, even though we might not agree on everything, we still feel like we're special because we come together and do this, or this is something we stand for. Or maybe every year your family gets together and does some sort of charitable event. To create something mindfully and intentionally that you go back to is a way of creating a place to collect those memories. And what's interesting is that the more you do something, the more memories you collect around this place, whether it's returning to a family home each summer or camping in the same place or working for the same, you know, charitable event. I have friends that work with a cancer camp that provides a week for people who are struggling with cancer. Their entire family, mom, dad, grandparents, all the kids, they go and volunteer at this camp every year. And so they're doing something to help others and enrich their lives. They're also building these memories, collecting memories as a family, and it doesn't cost them anything to do this. Because we also think sometimes that creating memories or collecting memories means buying a big expensive vacation so that you can, you know, go there and talk about this. But any sort of gathering doesn't have to cost a good deal of money. It's just the coming together and intentionally saying we're doing this because we care about our time together, we care about this issue, and we want to have these memories to fall back on. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 781-3875, and I'm recapping and going over what a long, strange, fabulous summer it's been, full of kind of new places and many new faces and some comedic disasters that were unexpected, but will probably at some point end up being the funnest part of the story. And I ended the summer this last weekend at the Whale Rock Music Festival. And if you haven't had a chance to go, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful way to cap off the summer. It's a small event up in Templeton at Castor Winery, put on by the Utzon family. And while I was there this weekend, I got a chance to talk to a few of the artists. And one of the groups that was there is Jamestown Revival, put on a wonderful show on Sunday night. So we're going to come back and take your call, 781-3875. But let's hear from Jamestown Revival.
This is Jonathan with Jamestown Revival. We support public radio because they give artists a chance like us to be heard. You can support KCBX by visiting kcbx.org and hitting the Donate Now tab.
What's the best part? Like the way you touch my That's not it. Bree's just smiling at me with, wait, you've been gone for so long. I'm not ready for you.
Sorry about that, folks.
No, that's okay. Then we have a song on the other CD, and it's cut two. And we can come back to that also if you want to. We'll just grab the phone. That's all right. We can be rusty. We'll just grab the phone calls now, and we'll come back to Jamestown. They will be there. But there was so much great music, too. I, in part, wish I could just kind of play pieces from all of the different bands that were there this weekend. And what's fun is because it's so small, there's a lot of people that I know now that I've been attending this festival and other musical events. And I have to be honest, live music around the area wasn't always something that I went to. My husband loves live music, and so I would go and be I'd be an interested companion for my husband. But once we started going and kind of volunteering at these events and getting to know some of the people that worked at the events also and why they loved it has made it kind of more fun. And now that I've started bringing my daughters with us and we do this together, it's been kind of become a family affair. It's like it's added to this whole other layer of things that we do together and kind of, bring more sense of grounding for our family, things that we identify as. We're the family that does this together. We're the family that hangs out doing this. And I guess, you know, part of the theme for today is this idea that we have to be intentional about how we create and collect our memories. If we just kind of fly through our life checking off on a list like, oh, I need to someday go here, or I need to someday see this milestone, or I need to head out to this national park. If we're spending our life just checking off boxes of things that we need to do so we have memories of, you know, all the places we traveled or we collected, you know, a postcard from every place we went, that's a lot different than actually having an intention to spending time with each other or getting to know a new place or people in a new place, and to making a commitment to really getting deep into that experience, it's much different than checking something off the box. It becomes something that becomes long lasting in our life and our memory. Hi, Corey, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just, a lot of what you were saying today was resonating with me because, especially since I've met my boyfriend, he came into my life at a time when I needed a lot of support and whatnot. And one of the ways he did that for me was one of my birthdays, he gave me a journal. And he decided that instead of giving me a physical thing, he wrote that we should share memories that we and events and things that we go and do together. So that's been a real interesting way for us to communicate in that way, and also to preserve things that we've done together or things that we've seen. So kind of a neat way of doing that. And then what you were speaking to about going and doing things during the summer, I get a chance to just really go and go to a festival and dance my heart out. I'd had a really tricky year previously. I work in public education, and it was nice to be able to just go and dance and get crazy.
Yeah, step out of our everyday and become someone new.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about going to music festivals or different, even if it's not music, any kind of event or festival where you're with a lot of like-minded people, is there is this kind of freedom in being able to shake off the constraints of the day-to-day, and there's no judgment because everyone's there shaking off the constraints of the day-to-day.
And oh, absolutely.
And I love the idea of the memory documentation because do you share the journal and each take turns writing in it, or, you know, is
mm-hmm.
it?
That's exactly kind of what we do. Sometimes, you know, one of us gets busy or whatnot, but he just wrote that he felt like a perfect gift is one that is coming from the heart. And it really meant a lot to me that it was something, you know, it's sort of like text messaging in a way, I guess, but it's not immediate. Like, you have to be deliberate about sitting down and recalling what we thought or what we felt. And it's a way for also us to appreciate each other, to say, oh, I loved when you helped me out with this, that, or the other, or whatever. So, well, yeah, I just thought that sort of came to mind when I heard you.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because there is a difference, as I started to say before. When we're checking things off the box, they don't really sit too deeply in our psyche or, you know, in our memory banks. It's just like, oh, yeah, I saw that, or yeah, I saw that. And you can tell everyone else, posted on your Facebook or Instagram a picture of you standing in front of something. But that's not the same as really kind of marking it and talking about it, or what it smelled like or felt like, or why it was special, or, you know, who you were there with. And to write it down and to document it allows it kind of, you know, when I was going to school, I had a professor that talked about how important it was for the psyche to simmer on experiences, and that the longer, you know, because there can be negative simmering on experiences, but conversely, it's always important to simmer on the positive experiences, to allow it to kind of stew inside of us. And really, the longer we simmer and stew those memories, the more rich and beautiful they become, just like a stew that we eat.
Mm-hmm,
So now you have this beautiful book to go back, and you can embellish those stories the older you get, and they'll become even better memories.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you for taking the time to call.
Of course. Thanks.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I'd forgotten about that visual, because that was something, you know, as we've talked about, nothing in life is all bad or all good. And we get concerned when we're working with clients who start to stew on or ruminate on feelings or memories or experiences that can be negative, and we can get caught in these kind of negative neural loops that get us stuck. But at the same time, we can also stew and simmer on things that are positive, things that make us feel good, memories that kind of remind us how great it is to be alive and how much joy that we feel. And they can be triggered, you know, those memories by hearing a song that we were listening to at the time we were visiting a place, or something that we ate will remind us of, you know, another experience that we had. And the longer we kind of let those memories stew and simmer, and we talk about them, we talk those stories back and forth. And again, as I said before, it's in the retelling of the stories. You can almost never retell a story enough, because each time it adds more flavor to that experience that helps to ground us, to ground around our psyche. And as I mentioned before, music is a great conduit for that. So when I think about this last weekend and being with my girls and my husband and getting to create these family memories, the soundtrack of Jamestown Revival will play in my head. So every time I hear a bit of this song, those great memories stew back in my psyche. California, I don't even know you, taking me away from home. Oh, Magnolia, I'll never get over you, feelings running straight to my bones. Someday I'll be coming home. Someday I'll be coming home with a cast iron soul. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we're talking about our summer recap, and kind of as we move towards the autumn equinox and transition into the next season, looking back over all the memories we've collected over the last few months, things that we've done alone in joyful solitude, things we've done with friends, things that we've done with family, those opportunities we've had to mix and mingle with brand new people that we never knew before and that become fast friends, and that bring new and exciting relationships to life. These are all things that ground our mental health, that keep us feeling well, that keep us feeling whole, especially when we move into times that might be dark or more difficult. To be able to draw on those memories are so important. So we're talking about the Weekend of Whale Rock Music Festival, and I have Max Udson on the line. Hi, Max.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So in talking about those people that you meet and all of a sudden you think, wow, we really kind of hang out well together. That seems to be the whole vibe at Whale Rock, that everyone who comes there starts to feel like they really are part of your family.
Yeah, that's an important aspect of the festival for us. Year after year, the crew itself that puts on the festival and builds it out grows closer to each other, and we get a more of a tight-knit community that way. But and then in the general community of the Central Coast, all the people that come out with their families and their loved ones and come out and enjoy the festival themselves, they see each other year after year, and we kind of get this critical mass of the community that comes together and gets to hang out and is a family for the weekend, if not longer.
And so what was the inspiration for starting Whale Rock? Because this is the fifth year, right?
Yeah, so this was the fifth event in a row, yeah. And the inception of the event was originally planned to celebrate Castor Sellers 30th year in business.
Okay.
To celebrate that, my folks wanted to host a big party, essentially, and that kind of developed into let's have a music festival for the weekend, just a one-time event. And after we did the event, the reception in the community was so strong, and we learned a ton while doing it, and it was like, hey, this is something that could grab hold in this area, and it kind of worked into our just a year-round, another aspect of what we do at Castor Cellars and in the community. It seems like a great way to get a lot of local people involved, local artists, and be able to support a nonprofit each year. It kind of all came together, like this could be something that works, and it really has. We feel the support from the community, and so that's why it continues to go on and develop and yeah, and we're very excited. Can't even really believe that 5 years have trickled by somehow.
So, and I think what I find so fun about Whale Rock is that it is the Udson family. It's like all of you are involved in some way. Your brother Luke and your father and your mom, like, and your wives and girlfriends are all a part of it. And so how has putting together Whale Rock changed you as a family or impacted you as a family?
Conversations don't, aren't very, they're, a lot of times these things get brought up, and it's super fun because it's inundated our entire lives. It's a lifestyle that it's something that is ongoing. So we really are all hands on deck. Everybody's involved in the festival. So when we're hanging out and doing things, we are always chatting about it and kind of catching up on ideas and things that we're working on, what else we can do, or kind of like, hey, this didn't work as great as we wanted last year. How can we improve that? And so on and so forth. So it's an ongoing dialogue, and I guess it's only changed us to be, you know, just closer knit and kind of always be brainstorming and shooting ideas around and kind of always searching for, you know, ways to improve the best. And so we get along really well, and we love to talk about it. So it's only just, you know, brought us closer together as a family.
Which is kind of was one of the inspirations for the show today, watching your family all get up on stage on Saturday and Sunday night and your dad talking about, you know, just the love of the people and the community and wanting to have the space to bring people together and to make a space for kids to hang out. And just, you know, the whole intention of the family was to extend out that love. And I was thinking about it after the weekend that, you know, every family needs to have some sort of project that they work on together, like Whale Rock. It doesn't have to be a music festival, but it could be anything, a charitable event or something they build together. But it seems like when your family has something that they're all working on together, it gives you kind of this natural connection or this natural place to start conversations.
Definitely. I mean, we all have a, you know, this incredible bond because of doing the festival, and, you know, it's just like playing on a sports team or being on a, you know, very tight-knit crew at your work or something. You go through these trials and tribulations. Not everything's always great, but you go through them together, which ultimately makes you stronger as individual people, but as a team. Mm-hmm. And so the hard work really gets, you know, a long day and you're drinking a glass of wine or a beer and sitting around talking about what you did. It really makes all those things more pleasurable because of how much work you put into these kind of things. And if you do them with a tight-knit crew like we do, it really, really gives you a lot of gratification at the end of the day.
So any idea of what people can look forward to next year already? Is that already being bantered around?
Yeah, I mean, Luke and I have lists of bands for sure we're always looking at and looking to the future of to book. But as far as right now, I'm at the festival site actually currently, just taking down all the shade sails. Just broke off to make the call in here, but it takes us about a week or two to fully clean up and get everything back in its place for the fest. And then we start our decompression of sitting down around the table again and shoot the ideas around of what's next and what worked really well, what can we improve on. We send out surveys, which we love getting back and read all of them and try to make the modifications to make it as, you know, smooth of an event for everyone as we can. So that's kind of the next steps. And then we'll be start booking music here by the winter. That's how it goes.
Well, Max, I appreciate you pulling yourself away because I know how much work goes into putting all the festival together and just from getting the stage and clearing the area and bringing the activities. Thanks for calling in. I look forward to having the conversation next year when you introduce the lineup and kind of continue to grow Whale Rock. And I just also appreciate that your entire family has come together to do this and give to the community something that seems to be a real cornerstone for the Central Coast.
Well, we appreciate you know, having the opportunity to do it, and that everybody that helps us, like yourself, saw you all weekend in the backstage area and around the festival. Like, that's the only reason this works. It doesn't matter if you have a dream. We didn't have all the community, all the listeners out there, all the people that have come out to help support, the hundreds of volunteers that put in hours to make the festival possible. It wouldn't work. So we love this community that, you know, lifts us up in this idea, crazy idea we've had, and then it's really shown through into the community of artists and inspiring youngsters to pick up instruments or listen to music or just play outside, whatever it is that's important to us. So we love this community and appreciate everybody getting behind it.
Thank you, Max. Give my best to the rest of your family, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And we're talking about collecting those memories being more important than things, and how do we intentionally make those memories something that we file away. Because there's a difference between, as I said, checking things off a box and saying, oh, I've been there and I've done that, or we did this. And it also doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Big vacations that are really expensive can provide wonderful memories full of awe and wonder. But they're not necessarily the only way that we create important memories that sustain us throughout our life. And it's so important to, again, the intentionality of noticing and recognizing when you're doing something that's special or unique or different, and kind of creating a way of documenting it. I loved Corey's idea of having the kind of journal to document those special experiences that you can look back on and remember, because sometimes our ideas or memories of it fade. Sometimes the stories get even better as we get older. And but having some way of cataloging them really are important in sustaining us through difficult times, because our life does flow. We're always in the process of either coming together or falling apart. There's never a time where we get to one place and we just stay there forever. Although we love to think that we get to a place where our life is wonderful and we can just hang on and ride it out forever, it's not true. You know, we have those moments that are phenomenal and we have to grasp onto them, collect the memories, stow them away somewhere, so that when we go through the tough times as a family or as individuals, that we can draw back on those memories and remind ourselves, oh yeah, those good times exist, and those good times can exist again, and to kind of get out of our comfort zone, because sometimes it's easier to kind of do the same old comfortable thing instead of taking that chance and stepping out and creating memories that are different, that might end up not being the memory that you expected. When I was driving across country this summer, when I flew to Chicago and picked up Kelly, last year I did this drive by myself. And it was wonderful. And I never listened to the radio. And I would check in with my husband at night, and he would say, you know, what did you do today? And I said, I just drove. I just listened to the thoughts in my head. It was amazing. And then this summer was different because I had my daughter with me. And there were two parts were phenomenal. One was getting to have uninterrupted time with my daughter, because as our kids grow, that time that we get to spend with each other becomes smaller and smaller. I'm sure Bree's mom would love to be able to have more time with her as she, you know, I mean, you're out on your own living in California. And so that those times that we get to spend with our children when they get older become even more sweet. So we were on the road from Chicago, and the end of our trip was going to be the Jersey Shore, and we had really no plan in between, which interestingly was of great despair for my daughter, because I didn't realize that she was someone that liked to know where we were going every day, and I just kind of like to wander and see what comes up. So she made it her mission each day to start researching places that we could go that would be of interest, and she ended up finding some really kind of out of the way, interesting, off the beaten path places that kept reminding me that although there are, I don't know, landmarks that we really enjoy seeing, landmarks that we kind of all want to say, hey, I've been to see the Statue of Liberty, or I've been to the Grand Canyon. Sometimes it's the unexpected places that we come across that are just as phenomenal and interesting. We were driving through this little town in upstate New York, and I think it was called Maysville, because I can't remember. There's so many little towns. And we started passing Amish families in their buggies going down the road. And it was like being transported back in time. Not only is the drive beautiful across all these farmlands, but then to kind of step back into another entire community. It's so far removed from our day-to-day in California. And then as we passed these families, we were driving along this road, and in the middle of the road was this humongous, I didn't know what it was when we first drove up to it. I thought it was like a huge armadillo, but that would have been out of place. But as it turns out, it was a humongous snapping turtle that looked about 100 years old. And so Kelly said, Mom, you got to stop and pull over the car. And I said, what? She goes, I need to protect the turtle. And I said, we're in the middle of a two-lane country road here. She goes, I need to protect it. And so we pulled over and she jumped out and she's kind of just trying to herd this humongous snapping turtle across the road, the two-lane road. And it wasn't a lot of traffic. We're in the middle of nowhere, but it still was a country highway. And of course, as soon as she got close to the snapping turtle and tried to usher it along, it closed up into its shell and wouldn't move anymore. And I said, don't touch this. Don't touch it because it might snap you or bite you. And as soon as I said that, out of the corner of my eye, a man came out of his house two doors down. Another man came out of his house another two doors down, older gentlemen in their overalls. And they kind of yelled to each other, hey, is that turtle back in the road? He goes, yeah, I'll get the turtle. And they walked over and they said, yeah, he comes up here once or twice a week and just lays down on the road. And it was so funny to have this experience, like that memory of these two men lifting up the snapping turtle to carry it across the road as if it was kind of their daily routine was one of my favorite memories of the summer. Just something silly and out of the ordinary and something you'd never see anywhere else. And my daughter and I laughed about it for the next 2 days. And the funniest part about it was that the men were really concerned that Kelly was going to reach over and try to grab the turtle and take it with her, or I don't know, or try to move it. They said, don't touch it, young lady. This, we do this every day. The turtle just lays down on the road. So I leave you with that memory in hopes that you'll kind of go back through your memories of the summer and catalog some of those things that were really different, important, funny, odd, comedic, and collect them either in a written form or in your mental box somewhere that you can store away to draw on when things maybe aren't going as well as they were at the time that you created these memories. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. You can reach me at elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, or you can find our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can like our page and get updates of future shows or leave me a message there. You can also listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or podcast our show. And I'd like to leave you with a little more happy music from Michael Franti. He is a beautiful man that brought phenomenal energy to Whale Rock Music Festival this weekend. Just being around him and the sheer joy and love that he sends out to the universe inspired me to want to bring that joy and love into the studio and send it back out to you. As always, we appreciate you being a part of the conversation, appreciate you being a part of the community, and I look forward to kicking off the next few months of hanging out together here in the studio, having conversations about those things we most care about. Thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX.
Every day is not Valentine's, but you make it feel like most of the time. When I'm all alone with you, picking up pieces of my life, sometimes there's ones I just can't find, but they found a home with you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. And when I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you. Better. Tell me what you want, I'll give you all that you need with my heart and my hands saying please, baby, please, because nobody does that thing you do better than you. And thoughts to swim around in my head of all the words that we ever said, my favorites remain, I love you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Life is better with you. And when I think about the things that we've been through,
are better than other days, but these days life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days life is better with you. And when I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you.